On this episode of Still Loading, use it or lose it. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. And for this week's episode, I am covering the game The Wall Street Kid, and I've invited my friend Tim on.
Hi, Tim here.
So Tim, you have been on one other episode with me so far. You were on the Super Mario World episode.
Yes.
And that was your first time, was that your first time podcasting?
That was the first podcast ever.
Did you enjoy it at least?
I did.
And it's, well, now you actually get a more intimate podcast right here in the so-called studio, but with actual, much better microphones than we were using that time. So, so we're covering The Wall Street Kid, and this is coming up to the end of my 40 for 40 series. We are approaching close. This is the second to last game, so you are the second to last guest for the series.
Saving the best for last.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have one more episode, and you guys will have to see what that is in 2 weeks' time. I do have a bonus episode next week, and you will hear what that is then. No spoilers just yet. And, let's just dive right into it. So in true Still Loading style, we will be talking about let's talk about the box art. It looks like a cheesy comic book, but in a good way. Like, not a bad cheese.
It's
like a fine Gouda, know what I mean?
It's gooey. It's a gooey game. Don't mess up your game like that, but it's nice. Yeah, it's definitely directed towards kids. It definitely looks like, a comic book from the 80s.
I love the dude, like, how he has a briefcase that says so you play this blonde-haired, preppy-looking jock guy with these green sunglasses, and he's got this beautiful 80s tan suit on. Not tan, I'm sorry, gray suit on with a red tie. He's got a bag full of money, which you would have seen in the 40s, and a briefcase that says Top Secret, and it says featuring Ruth, the ruthless banker, Stanley, the crafty consultant. And you can see his girlfriend. What's
Priscilla?
Priscilla is her name.
Yes.
What has to fit with the
lovely
preppiness.
Woman.
My hero. That's what it actually says on the box. Is this my hero? And on the back of the box has this nice gold sheen to reflect the whole money vibe it's got going on, and it says where life, love, and money all depend on how well you play the game. Make billions of dollars when you deal with the giants of Wall Street. Not only do you risk by playing the stock market, but you must prove you can uphold a high standard of living. Wow, this is a pretentious fucking game. Holy crap.
It's the excess of the 80s.
It really is.
The 80s excess.
God, I miss the 80s, even though I was only alive for like half a year.
I was not even born. Yeah.
Were you not born in the 80s?
No, 1990, April.
Really?
1990, yeah.
April 1989, so right there. If you dream of fame and fortune, this life simulation game is your way to the top. You can taste the victory of success, but only if you're strong enough to face the challenge of life.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to deal? So, first thing I want to say is I actually really liked this game, and I was going into it with the expectation this is another one of those meh NES games that I've been covering for the last 2 years, and I gotta say, I'm impressed. I really enjoy this.
I mean, I dressed up as the Wall Street Kid just for it. I used
to
play it as a kid.
The reason why I chose you for this episode. So actually, Tim, you do the honors. Tell the story of who has signed your copy of the Wall Street Kid and the whole story behind it.
So AVGN, he signed my copy of the Wall Street Kid.
And to interrupt, just for those who don't know, AVGN is the Angry Video Game Nerd. Most people who listen to this, I would assume, already know him, but just in case those who have never heard of him, he's a YouTuber, probably one of the first famous gamer YouTubers who did reviews of like bad video games. Go give him a watch if you haven't. He's funny. Go on.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I saw him at Video Game Junkie, and I was dressed as the Wall Street Kid. I was a little bit more decked out.
Dressed to the nines. You had a suit on.
I had
remember.
A suit, and I had the red tie, and I had the suspenders.
That is a fantastic.
And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, could you sign my copy of the Wall Street Kid?"
He was
and
confused.
And he looked at me and he said, Sure. I think he was looking at Neo Geo games at that point.
Well, he was looking at...
He was looking at games, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, can you sign my copy of the Wall Street
It's such a random... Because it's not even like he reviewed it.
It would be a game that he should review. It's bad. Some people will find it fun.
Yeah. So what I liked about it is that it really... It reminds me a lot of... This is going to be such a weird thing. You ever play those weird, like, adult life simulator games?
Oh,
it's not necessarily, like, hentai, but, like, there's like...
You don't trap anybody in a dungeon.
There's usually, like, a sensual element to it.
Yeah.
There's games like that where you pretty much have to decide what you do with your day. And this is, like, a really primitive form, minus all the weird sexual undertones that those games have. Or if you play the hentai versions, the overt sexual overtones. The overt sexual tones. But so it's a life simulator game, and I was kind of confused by it because it's called the Wall Street Kids. I'm expecting it about stocks, and it is about stocks, but you also have to, you know, make sure you exercise and take your fiance or girlfriend Priscilla out on dates and
buy her a chihuahua.
We had to buy her a chihuahua. And I actually found myself enjoying this quite a lot. So you said you played this as a kid, though.
I did.
Like, did your parents get it for you, or did you just, like, pick it because you really liked the stock market as a kid?
I think my uncle got it for me because he probably didn't know what else to get. He probably thought, oh, look, it's got, you know, money. Kids like money. Kids like money. Do they like money? I liked money.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wall Street Kid looks like a comic book on the front of it. And when I was playing it as a kid, I kept going back to it, like, because I would get frustrated because it's not for kids.
No, it's not.
It's kind of difficult. You can mess up immediately, and you're not going to be able to buy that $1 million house.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the first chapter.
So the game gives you different objectives that you have to hit, and the first objective is you have to buy a $1 million house within a month.
Mm-hmm.
You have been given an inheritance of like $2 billion, but you have to prove that you live up to whatever the family name is. I don't even know if they said it.
I remember. I think it began with a B, but yeah.
Wellington or something. I know that doesn't start with a B, but it would be something that pretentious. I don't know.
Rockefeller.
And so you have to live up to the name, and you have to invest. You get to start out with $500,000, and you have to invest that $500,000 and hit $1 million by the end so you can buy a house.
Yeah, you have to double your money in a month
and still somehow have money left in stocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would cripple you for probably the next aspect of it.
It would. You have to take your girlfriend / fiance out to the mall or to the circus and buy your dog.
I just kept taking her to the picnic. Picnics.
You're right.
So the game is so bizarre. So it actually times you. You have a certain number of hours throughout the day to invest in stocks and trade stocks, and generally it takes like a minute or so for 15 minutes or something like that. I don't know what the ratio is. I didn't time it, but it is obviously not exact to scale. It's not 24 hours, but so you have to make sure you budget your time well. And generally, I mean, realistically, it doesn't take any time at all to do the stock market, because once you're in the stock screen, it pauses the timer for you.
Exactly.
You'll be at that forever 9 a.m. We did all of our stock trading, and we spent like 30 minutes picking it, and it was still 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So
obviously, we had to go to the gym after that.
Yeah, then we had to go to the gym. Now, and then it says this transaction is 4 hours. I'm like, that's a weird way to phrase it. And so then I'm like, all right, well, I can't buy anything more because I spent all of my money in stocks. So let's take my fiance Priscilla out to a picnic. She's like, we'll have a lovely 2 hours together. I'm like, you are really counting this specifically. She must really hate this guy if she's counting the hours.
Yeah, she's probably billing him, you know, by the hour, like a lawyer or something.
She's a fiance for hire or something.
Yeah.
What are some of the other objectives? Do you remember some of the other objectives if you were to actually save up the $1 million and buy the house?
So after that, your family was, I think, European in descent. So you have to buy back a castle that is going to be auctioned off that used to be your family's.
Oh my God.
Family's castle. It's about, you know, you're just buying houses. I don't know past that. What else you have to buy? You probably have to have a $1 billion wedding for your fiance and buy her a chihuahua or two or something.
Yeah, so it randomly made me buy my fiance a dog. She's like, let's go get a dog. And so I don't have a lot of money left because everything's invested in the stock market. So it's either $1,000 for some
poodle
for a poodle and then or 500 for a chihuahua. So that girl got a chihuahua. Yeah. I'm sorry, like you don't blindside me with that, like, let's just go get a dog tomorrow. That's expensive.
Yeah, she doesn't have any money. Come on, her family's obviously wealthy. You can't buy her a dog.
She's consistently wearing the same dress every day. I don't know actually if she's, how wealthy could she be if she's wearing the same dress every day?
Yeah, she might be living on the street.
She might be
waiting for those picnics that you take her on to actually eat for that day.
That's awful. That's so bad.
While you're out there investing $500,000.
That's a conspiracy theory, man. We actually I think we stumbled upon something. Mm-hmm. So Priscilla is actually just a gold digger. Mm-hmm. She just wants to get off the street.
A homeless gold digger. A not very successful gold digger.
Oh my goodness, that's awful.
Yeah, that's my hero. That's what she says every time she gets a free meal from him. Yeah, my hero.
He's her hero because she needs him to help eat. He is her meal ticket. That's mm-hmm. the word I was trying. That's the sentence I was trying
and
to say.
And that's why she wanted a dog.
Yeah. To eat the dog?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She can carry her meal around with her.
This is a dark game.
This is not for kids.
That took a dark turn fast.
Yeah, Wall Street kid. Yeah, right.
Oh my goodness. So, all right. So, yeah. So you generally start the day off. Each day starts off with you reading the newspaper, and it tells you which stocks are doing well, which types of stocks are doing well, and which stocks are doing and all others. Generally, there's two different types of stocks that do well, and then all the other types, for lack of a better word, are doing poorly.
Yeah, they're flat or they're down, you know, a couple of percentage points.
So what we were doing is we invested. The first two were growth and speculative stocks, and there's a couple different companies that are that type of stock. So I invested. I found the cheapest one I could for either growth or speculative, which was actually the cheapest one out of all of them. Mm-hmm. And I invested everything I had into it, and it actually was paying off for a while. Yep. And
then maybe 80,000.
Yeah, I made 80,000 in about a week or so, which there's not enough time.
Yeah,
there's so much. You have to make
$500,000 in 4 weeks.
It's not even like you can make 100K a week. You would have to make more. You'd have to make 120K a week.
Yeah.
Minimum. Now, thankfully, the more money you get, the more you can reinvest. Exactly. So you're hoping that it averages out to 120K a week. But I have a feeling it's going to start slow.
Yeah.
But so in any case. So you get all that money in stocks, you have to buy and sell depending on what the newspaper says, you know, what stocks are doing well, which are doing poorly. And it is a little weird, just as all the, they have these really weird names for all the companies. Like there's Charles Schwab instead of Charles Schwab.
Yeah. And there's Boeing instead of Boeing.
Yeah. Boeing.
Yeah.
Or AT&T, but we know it as the AT ampersand T.
Yeah.
They did AT, the letter N, and then T. Yeah. So it's like all these really, it's kind of like how Castlevania did the weird, like, bad name, like fake names for movie actors during the credit scenes. Instead of Bela Lugosi, it was like, I forget what they said. It was like Stella Lugosi or something like that. But no, that wasn't what it is. They did like horror puns based off their names. It was really dumb. It wasn't even funny. So, but I found myself surprisingly invested with how much you could do in it. I know. I didn't even think about that. I found myself surprisingly invested. So what's the best you were ever able to do in this game? Did you ever get past the first stage? Like the first, you know, get $1 million house?
No. The best I ever did, as a kid, was probably 900,000. But it does,
that close.
It does hint that, after this, you know, prepare to buy that castle. And I said, well, I don't even have a house to live in, basically. I'm just living out of my office. My Priscilla, she's on the street. I got to go to the gym. I got some videotapes to return. I don't know.
How am I paying for the gym if I can't even buy a house?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the closest I ever got was 900,000. I thought that was a feat. And even as an adult, I'm still not any better at it. I think after a while, you just go too fast. You just keep clicking that clock. You're just like, okay, next day, I want to see how my stocks do. You're not really, you're reading the newspaper, but you're also not diversifying. You're putting all your money in one stock, and that's not really what you should be doing. You should be splitting it up between a couple different within that category.
That would make the most sense. Because, I mean, it definitely, towards the end of what we were playing, it definitely, we started making more and more money.
Yeah.
Because we I diversified into this second stock. Now, just like the stock market, our game ended because the NES itself crashed on me right to the floor. And I was so, I looked for the nearest window, just like all those other stock brokers do. I looked for the nearest window. I just couldn't live with the fact that I lost everything in the game.
That's what happened. You know, the housing crisis, somebody had their NES and it lost power. And they're like, I was doing all my trading on my Famicom. You could actually do that.
That's a side note, but you could
trade stocks on the Famicom online.
For those who don't remember, I did a peripherals or like gimmicks episode, and I talked about this. But for those who didn't listen to it or don't remember, the NES could actually, the Japanese version, the Famicom of the original Nintendo, could actually go online. Now, not like competitive online play or anything like that, but it could trade stocks. It could.
And they could do horse racing too, I think. They could bet on
horse races.
Yeah.
You could also send emails and things like that, which is just, think of that, guys. That's a gaming console that was released in, 1983 in Japan? And it could go online. And it could trade stocks and bet on horse races and check
email.
And
could crash for you. And then that's what happened, you know, during the, you know, was it Black Monday, I think 1988, when the market, that's fine. That's a finance history lesson, but.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah.
What? So educate me on this. I know this has nothing to do with the Wall Street.
It was just kind of like a small market crash. I think it was 1988. And I think it was called Black Monday. And the market just kind of took a crash after. I don't remember all of the
it wasn't because of an NES.
It was the Famicom. Somebody was trading $1 billion on their Famicom, and as people do who have billions, you know, maybe he had two Famicoms, maybe he's real rich.
He was
maybe he had $2 billion.
He was trading it. Oh man, that's crazy though. But no, so yeah, the Famicom could actually do that. So I wonder if any of this. We should really look up. Where is my phone? Because this is good, right? To look it up on mic, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Good. I'm already connected to my
this
own
is
Wi-Fi.
Live research. Everybody.
I know, right?
This is.
I want to see if the company that made Wall Street Kid is a Japanese company or if it's an American company. The name is SoFel.
And yeah, what are they trading at?
SoFel Information Company is a Japanese information technology company involved with business application systems development. Multimedia service and system development and the development of RFID devices and systems. It was established in May 1979 to provide software such as comps to their major clients.
So are they growth or speculative?
Yeah, right?
Should I put like my $500,000 in there or should I not?
Wow, so they made a couple games. There's a game on the Nintendo, on the NES called Dragon Fighter. They also made that.
Oh my gosh.
Interview with the director of SoFel Telecom. So it's still a Japanese company, but I don't think it's run by Japanese people anymore. Unless it's just a different office. That could have just been a video. It was just a video, and it definitely wasn't a Japanese name. Let me see what else they had. SoFel video games. What else did they have on here? Casino Kid.
They
made a
I've
game called Casino
that.
Kid. They made a game called Worm Journey to Journey to the Center of the Earth. It's actually rated fairly highly. It's
how is it spelled? Is it
WURM?
Oh, okay. So what is it?
It's rated 4 out of 5 on eBay, 4.2 out of 5 on EMU Paradise.
Is that like Dune? Like Worm,
it is a multi-genre video game developed by Cyclone and published by Asmic and SoFel for the NES. It was released in 1991. I'm gonna actually have to look this up.
These guys know how to make games, you know. Maybe they're a little
or at
difficult.
Least publish them.
Yeah, publish them.
Now let's see, does it say if they publish or develop this? It just says SoFel. Let me see what they say on the when I look up the Wall Street Kid. Wall Street was released by Nintendo for originally released in Japan as the Money Game 2 Kabutocho no Kiseki, which was the sequel to The Money Game. The storyline from the two versions are different, but the layout and the scheme and the office are the same. And it was like developed. It was developed by SoFel, so it wasn't like they just published it. They also made it.
Okay. Did they make any games for the Magnavox Odyssey? Because I have a stock game for the Magnavox Odyssey.
Really?
Yes. This is like my. I don't know. This is gonna be my collecting theme. Where I just collect.
Just get money themed games?
Yeah, money.
There's
money
a
and
Casino
stock
Kid 2 that was released in 1993 by them. Then Dragon Fighter, which we were talking about earlier, 1990. Flying Hero, Clash Ball, the Money Game 2. Okay, so that's what it originally was. That's the original Japanese version of the Wall Street Kid. So they turned the Money Game into the Wall Street Kid. I wonder how they. So they did say that the visuals changed, except for the layout was the same. That makes sense because this is a very white guy.
Yeah, this
is not like it's not even
probably not Priscilla. It's probably like I don't know.
Is
it Princess Peach? I don't know.
Just Peach.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's kind of cool to go down the rabbit hole with those guys. They didn't make. It doesn't look like they make games anymore, but that's still pretty awesome. So, interesting.
Is their first foray into, well, not their first, but one of their forays in the video games was the Wall Street Kid. That changed my childhood forever.
But yeah, so the graphics, let's talk about the graphics now. We talked about the gameplay for a while now, which, like I said, I actually suggest trying this out. Like, it's definitely not, if you're looking for an action game, it's not an action game. If you're looking for any kind of like,
movement.
Yeah, movement.
It's very cutscene oriented, with just text. It's a money trading RPG.
But yeah,
time based.
But it's actually fun. It makes you want to try to. I actually might consider trying this out. Maybe make an attempt to beat it. But I doubt
it. See if you can beat my high score of 900,000.
But so the graphics are fine. I mean, they're simple because it's not really like an action game or an adventure game. It's almost a point and click strategy game versus a point and click adventure. So all the visuals are relatively fine. They get across what they're supposed to. The computer looks like a computer. An 80s computer. The newspaper looks like a newspaper. The clock looks like a clock. All the cutscene visuals are actually pretty appealing.
Your
I like
girlfriend
the
looks like
visuals.
She's homeless.
Yeah, wearing the same dress over and over again.
Set.
So yeah, and then the music actually was surprisingly decent.
It was good. I think it might have been a 30-second loop, maybe longer.
That's not bad for an NES game.
It could have been for a game like this. It could have been a 5-second loop and
like what Jaws does on the NES, where it's like a 10-second loop, which I don't mind, but it still gets it grates on you after a while. Yeah. But yeah, so the overall, I really did enjoy this. We talked about the graphics, talked about the box art, talked about the gameplay, talked about the music. So is there any like final thoughts that you have on this, Tim? Is there anything that we did not talk about that you really wanted to touch on? Because I never experienced this before, and you said, you know, like you said, you played it as a kid. Mm-hmm. So is there any other final words?
I just kept coming back to it and saying like, oh, I'm going to get that $1 million. I'm going to buy that house. And I probably tried as a kid, it must have been 30 or 40 times because I only had maybe 6 games. In my entire collection at that point when I was, you know.
Now look at us. You know, look at us now. Yeah. We have like 700 games.
Exactly, when I was
7
or 8 years old. But you know what? I think I'm going to go back. I'm going to try it for the 41st time and see if I can actually, you know, we could have a competition. We could see if we could
get that million dollars. See what
million
we can
dollars.
Do in a week.
Yeah.
And real quick before we kind of sign off, I'm hoping to have you back as well as Casey. And all three of us, you and him, are the only other collectors in the area that I know relatively well. Mm-hmm. I want to have you guys back on maybe after this 40 for 40 series is over and I get a couple more modern games out of the way that I've been meaning to cover for a while because I've been trapped. I shouldn't say trapped, but stuck in these NES games, which have been great. I've been very happy with, but I'm looking forward to new games on the horizon. But I want to have you guys back to talk about collecting and really talk about how the market ebbs and flows and like kind of go into the collecting culture and everything. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a really good conversation.
Some video game trading.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
It's almost like a stock market. It's that value.
It really is. You could probably take the same lessons from this, from the Wall Street Kid, and apply it to the game, to video games here. But like the problem is that we don't have a newspaper telling us which types of games are selling high.
Yeah, exactly.
Or which games specifically are selling high versus low.
You have to watch eBay and see the volume. Who's selling what?
Oh, that's way too much work. I don't have the time for that. But all right, so let's wrap things up here. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also reach out to me via email, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. Please also remember to rate, review, and to subscribe to the show. I always forget to put that at the end of the episode. Yeah. You'd think that would be obvious, but I always
forget. Do it at the beginning of the episode. This looks great. I gotta keep looking at this.
But no, so if you did enjoy this this episode, please hit that subscribe button. It would mean a lot to me if you gave me some feedback, give me a couple ratings, especially on iTunes. It really helps get the word out there. It helps people find my show. So if you enjoy it, please, spread the word. I would love... Send me some feedback on any of those social media platforms or that email from before. So Tim, do you have anything you want to plug or shout out or anything like that?
No, my final comment is I give this game 8 homeless girlfriends out of 10. I'm loving Priscilla.
Yeah. And so to wrap it all up, some quick shout outs to my original podcasting partner in crime, Erica from the Apex in the Abyss. A great true crime podcast. Also want to give a shout out to my friends over at Two Guys in a Game and The Hotter Show. TJ is a host on both of them. He is the sole host of The Hotter Show, and he is one of the co-hosts of Two Guys in a Game. Him and Kaz do that, and both of them are great podcasts. Two Guys in a Game is freaking hilarious. I definitely suggest giving it a listen, as well as The Hotter Show if you like indie music and anything like that. He reviews a lot of like indie music albums and interviews the band and just talks to them about their influences and stuff like that. It's a really interesting podcast. Also check out my friends over at No Geeks Allowed. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed. They're also really freaking funny. You actually would just remember them from last episode. They were on for Vice Project Doom. So if you enjoyed them in Vice Project Doom, go check them out. Seriously, they're great guys and they have a great podcast. And shout outs to Christian and Damon's Amazing Nerd Show, Drinks with Larry, the Drinks with Larry crew, and also want to give a shout out to More Gooder Than. If you like movies, it's a really good movie podcast where three friends review three movies and each one of them has to defend which one is more gooder than the others. And then I guess, man, there's just too many shout outs now. Also, like, I used to have like no shout outs, man. And now I've become friends with so many different podcasts, and the last couple, like More Gooder Than, I don't know these guys personally, but I like their show, so I wanted to give them a shout out. And then I also wanted to, the last one I want to give a shout out, who I also don't know personally, is the Singing Mountain podcast. If you like video game music, they do this guy, I forget his name. I feel bad because I already recorded an episode for next week, and you're going to hear me say the same thing again. In fact, preemptively, I'm pretty sure I forgot to give Drinks with Larry a shout out in that episode. So, guys, if you're listening to this, I apologize. Here's your preemptive shout out for next week. So Singing Mountain, this guy reviews video game music and he breaks it down and talks about what he likes and what he doesn't like, and also a little bit more of the music theory involved with it. And he knows way more about music than I do, so it's a really interesting dissection of video game music.
I hope he does Double Dragon. That's my favorite.
He has a lot of episodes, so he might actually. Yeah. But all right, so that pretty much wraps it all up. So thank you all once again for listening. Tim, thank you for coming on.
No problem, anytime.
And I will see you all next time.